www.attableek.com, the reviver of Iman.
And does many which Quran calls out to insan, calls out to the human being, Alam taro, why don't you see? Why don't you ponder? Why don't you reflect? أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. At the manner in which Allah has subjugated everything in the heavens, everything in the earth. What does this word سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ mean? تَسْخِيرُ, you translate subjugated. In reality, what does it mean? Allah has put you to your service. Everything in the heavens, everything in the earth, Allah has created it. Allah is the owner of it. Allah's hukumiyat, hakimiyat, samadiyat, jabariyat is controlling every facet of this creation, huge creations of Allah. And what does Allah say? We have put all this in the service of insan. سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَهُ وَظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنًا. And Allah says, why don't you observe the manner in which our bounties, our favors are raining down upon you? ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنًا. Those that are apparent, those that are concealed. There's no yardstick, no measuring tape that can count the ni'mats and bounties of Allah. It is said the liver of the body at any given time is carrying out 500 different life-saving functions. One organ of the body, 500 different life-saving functions. You're observing me, I'm speaking to you. How many different balances, counterbalances have to be in place just for these simple processes to take place? The other day, I met one person, parashan, the whole family is parashan. Why? Newborn child, people get happy, addition to the family. From one eye, the tear duct of this child was blocked, so it was not producing tears from one eye. And the entire family is parishan. The medical ramifications of that were a list a mile long. What? One tiny duct in the body is not producing tears. How many ni'mats of Allah? How vast is the creation of Allah? Very often I give this example. There's a magazine published by a Christian organization. The name is The Plain Truth. January 1981 edition of this magazine, they have an article in which they produced, or which was actually a summary of a theory put forward by NASA as to the vastness of this universe. In fact, recently they say the light from one star reached the earth. Light travels at the speed of 182 miles per second, 300,000 kilometers a second is the speed of light. The light from the star reached the earth recently. When did it start traveling? At this speed, 300,000 kilometers a second. It started traveling not 1 year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, 14 billion years ago. And the light reached the earth now. We look up, انظروا إلى الشمس وشعائها وإلى السماء وارتفاعها وإلى الأرض واتساعها وإلى البحر وأمواجها. Like the poet says, observe, look at the sun. Whole economies are based on the ability of a nation to meet the power or energy requirements. Industries are based on that, economies are based on that. Powerhouses produce sufficient energy so that there are no blackouts, so that there is no power failure. Allah's one source of energy, one source, one star, the sun, is only one star. They said the surface temperature of the sun is 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit. The core of the sun, 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. Every second in the sun, 14 billion tons of helium gas gets converted into 12 billion tons of hydrogen gas. Every second, this conversion or chemical reaction, call it, causes energy to be given off, equivalent to 500 million atom bombs exploding at one time. Every second, flames 100,000 miles long, والشمس تجري لمستقر لها ذلك التقدير العزيز العليم هو الذي جعل الشمس ضياء والقمر نورا. Somewhere Allah Ta'ala refers to the sun, Siraj al-Munira, Siraj al-Wahhaja, a shining lantern. One tiny example. Why I use the word tiny? The sun is vast. They estimate 120,000 times the size of the earth. Yet when compared to the rest of Allah's creation, it is one tiny creation of Allah. 1948, a burst of energy, arc of light came out of the sun, formed an arc and went back into the sun. Scientists at that time measured how much of energy was found in one burst. One burst. They found that there was sufficient energy to power the entire earth for the next 10 billion years. Without any powerhouse, without any power plant, one star, the diameter of the sun, 1,392,000 kilometers. He said this galaxy in which we live, they call it the Milky Way. In fact, it's a conjunction of 17 galaxies, what they call a super galaxy. It is so vast, just this one galaxy. If you mention light travels at 300,000 kilometers a second. If you move at that speed in 1 year, you'll cover a distance of 9.5 trillion kilometers. That is what they call one light year. This one galaxy, Milky Way, they estimate is 150,000 light years. And they estimate there are another 170 billion other galaxies. In this one galaxy, the sun is one star. They estimate there are between 200 to 400 billion stars in this one galaxy. The sun, the diameter, 1,392,000 kilometers. There is one star in this galaxy, the diameter is 400 million kilometers. There is one star, the diameter is 1.4 billion kilometers. So many stars, the report of NASA, they said we can only see 3% of the universe. The other 97% there is no light. It's what is called a black hole. 3% where there is little bit light is only visible. They estimate in this 3%, there are so many stars, that if 1 second is taken to name each star, it will take 300 trillion years just to name the stars. And this is 3% of what we call Sama'u Dunya. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّ السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ وَحِفْظًا. Stars are found underneath Sama'u Dunya, underneath the first heaven. And what is Quran telling us? Allah doesn't need the stars. Allah doesn't need the ecosystem. Allah doesn't need this universe. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need this atmosphere. Allah says we have put into the service of insan everything that was created. What is the purpose? In the dunya khuliqat lakum, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this entire world Allah has put into your service. It's been created for insan. Allah has not created any ni'mat or bounty in this world so that it is used to disobey Allah. Whatever Allah has given, the basic first fundamental requirement of that. Why did Allah create all this? Why was this world given to this insan? One purpose only, so that this is used to make your akhirah. وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانُ وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِنَّ الْآخِرَةِ هِيَ دَارُ الْقَرَارِ. The home, the eventual abode, the eternal abode of insan is akhirah. This life and whatever Allah has created, put into your service, is for what? الدُّنْيَا مَزْرَاتُ الْآخِرَةِ. Is to use this to earn our akhirah. Allah has not given you any ni'mat, any bounty, so that it is used in the disobedience of Allah. Today we have to analyze and look at the world. We are living in an era, we are living in a period which is clearly described in the verse of the Quran where Allahu Akbar, ajeeb analogy Quran gives us. O ka dhulumat fi bahri al-lujji. يَغْشَاهُ موج مِنْ فَوْقِهِ موج مِنْ فَوْقِهِ سَحَاب ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. Quran depicts the imagery that is contained in this verse. Allah describes a scene of absolute darkness and zulmat. One is darkness of a night, then is darkness of a raging storm, then is darkness of the oceans, then is darkness of the waves rising one above the other, darkness upon darkness upon darkness upon darkness. Such darkness that Quran says, Allah says, if a person puts his hand in front of his face, he will not see his fingers. And then Allah says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. If Allah doesn't give them light now, who is going to give them light? This verse of the Quran typically describes the current state of humanity. Whether it is the scientifically advanced first world nations, or whether it is the so-called backwards, scientifically or technologically disadvantaged third world nations, the length and breadth of this earth today, humanity has become the living embodiment of this verse of the Quran. Zulmat, darkness in every direction. Every one of the systems that humanity was depending upon is broken down. Whether it's the social structure, whether it's the family structure, whether it is the economical system. Length and breadth of the world is caught up in a web of pareshani, caught up in a web of concern and worry. They are looking in different directions. They have absolutely no idea how to address this malady that has taken over humanity. Suicide on a level that has never been seen before. Broken homes on a level that has never been seen before. Dependence on substitutes to dull the mind of human beings because they can't bear the pressures of life on a level that has never been seen before. One Jamaat was in America, they met a child psychologist. The person was surprised. Child psychologist, since when do children need psychiatric treatment? So this doctor explained to the Jamaat, he said, if you phone my surgery, the next available appointment is 3 years' time. Children needing psychiatric treatment. Such a level of zulmat has overtaken humanity. The tide of aggression has turned against humanity. I remember, a few years ago I picked up on newspaper, non-Muslim journalist. He is perplexed. It was February of that year, just 3 years ago. February of that year, and he's writing. He says, already, throughout the world there have been 40 huge natural calamities and disasters. Loss of life, loss of property on a scale and level that has never been seen before. This believer, he's perplexed and astonished what is going on. In trying to address this malady, in trying to address this darkness and zulmat that has overtaken humanity, people are running in different directions, trying to address this in different ways. But what we have to understand, my respected brothers, verse upon verse of the Quran, what is Allah telling us? إِنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا لِلَّهِ الْأَمْرُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَمِنْ بَعْدُ أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ إِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِنْ يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. Verse upon verse of the Quran. Some have recited many more verses. One basic fundamental lesson of yaqeen and conviction Allah is teaching us in the Quran through the agency of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No nation will rise up or be brought down. No nation will advance or decline. No one will be benefited or harmed in the length and breadth of this earth without the permission, qudrat, will and irada of one Allah. It is His hakimiyat, it is His hukumiyat, it is His samadiyat that is controlling every facet of this creation. لله ملك السماوات والأرض، لله ملك السماوات والأرض، يخلق ما يشاء. To Allah belongs the kingdom. To Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. Allah creates whatever He wants. لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. No one questions Allah. No one questions Allah. يفعل الله ما يشاء. Allah does as He wants to do. وربك يخلق ما يشاء ويختار ما كان لهم الخيار. سبحان الله وتعالى عما يشركون. Allah creates what He wants, and Allah makes ikhtiyar and choice of what He wants. The creation has no choice. I was black, I was brown, I was white, I was tall, I was short, I was male, I was female, I was strong, I was weak. Did we sign a requisition? Was some request made to Allah? مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَىٰ. Allah says, no one has a choice. It is His decision. It is His choice. It is His will. It is His irada that is controlling this entire creation. Any attempt to address the malady and the plight that is facing humanity, having removed Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the equation, my respected brothers, will not solve the problem. It will not solve the problem. In fact, it will exacerbate and worsen the problem. Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali beautifully put it like this. He said, Aaj insaniyat pareshani mein hai. Aaj insaniyat pareshani mein hai. Aur is pareshani se nikalne ke liye aise raaste istemal kar rahe jisse pareshani badhta hai. Today humanity is in a plight. It is trying to address its malady in those avenues. In those avenues which will exacerbate and worsen its situation. Why? Because they have taken Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam out of the equation. أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَا رَتْقًا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Allahu Akbar. Look at the manner in which Allah calls out. Where is your aqal? Where is your intelligence? Where is your perception? Where is your understanding? أَوَلَمْ يَرَى اللَّهِ. Why don't the disbelievers see? Why don't you realize? Why don't you accept that the heavens and the earth were compact? There was nothing. فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا. We split it. We brought this entire wujud into existence. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. This scientific acceptance or realization of the aquatic nature of all living matter is recent, one or two centuries old. 14 centuries ago, Allah in His Quran, that was revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. Allah said, we made every living thing out of water. Every living thing out of water, more than 90% of your body mass is water. أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Will you not believe? Where are we turning, in which direction? Remove Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the equation. What has humanity done? Humanity has declared war with Allah. Humanity has declared war with Allah. The tide of aggression has turned against us, and instead, what is Quran telling us? ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحَرِ. Fasad, fitna, tests, trials, tribulations, calamities, disasters, ظَهَرَ, have overtaken the land and the sea. Why? What is the cause? بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. It is your actions. It is the actions of humanity, and primarily the actions of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا. Allah says, this tide will turn against you. Why? So that you taste not the full azab or admonishment. بَعْضَ الَّذِي. A small portion of the admonishment you taste. Why? Not because Allah has forsaken you, no. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So that you come back to Allah. So that you come back to Allah. This is a wake-up call. One hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama say this hadith is in fact a map of the gradual decline of the ummah on the basis of its actions. And this hadith is narrated by many sahaba.
We find the narration of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, narration of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Various chains of narration. This gives us an indication that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed a majma' of Sahaba when he said this. The narration I am mentioning, is the narrator is Abu Umama Bahiri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Abi Umama al-Bahiri radiallahu ta'ala anhu. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كيف أنتم إذ فسق شبابكم وطغى نساؤكم One occasion رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Oh my Sahaba, Oh my Ummah, What will happen to my Ummah? When the natural resources will get finished? When they will no longer have government? When they will no longer have industries and commerce? When they will become poor? No. He turns around after one salah, and half the saf of Sahaba have fallen down as a result of hunger. In that situation, that glaring plight, half the saf have fallen down. As a result of hunger, what does he say to them? What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to them? مَلْ فَقْرُ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ He says, I don't fear poverty for you. I don't fear poverty. For as we are concerned, poverty or lack of material resources is qiyamah. What does the Nabi of Allah say? مَلْ فَقْرُ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ I don't fear poverty for you. Poverty will not lead to the downfall of my ummah. كَيْفَ فِكُمْ O my Sahaba, what is going to happen to my ummah? This is what this means. Wonder why it becomes كَيْفَ أَنْتُمْ What is going to happen to my ummah? When? What will cause their decline? This hadith maps out the gradual decline of the ummah. What will cause their decline? Not lack of natural resources. Not lack of technology. Not lack of government. No! What will cause the decline? He said, إِذَا فَسَقَ شُبَّانُكُمْ When the youngsters will become fasik and fajir. When the women will become rebellious and parade openly in public. One narration will come that my ummah will forsake their deen. Who, Allahu Akbar, who, which majma'u, who is the audience of this? Mukhatabin awwaleen, who are listening to this? First, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was the caliber of the women of that time? What was the caliber of the youngsters and the youth of that time? They are hearing this. They are hearing this and they are astonished. Completely perplexed. They can't even understand. They couldn't mentally envisage what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is describing. So this is why they responded and they said, أَوَكَائِنُ ذَلِكَ يَا رَسُولَّهُ Can such a thing happen? It was interesting. This awakain and dalika, what does it indicate? That Sahaba could not even mentally visualize what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is speaking about. Youngsters, fasik and fajir openly break Allah's command. Women rebellious. What was the caliber of the youngsters at that time? If you understand that, we'll understand why they were so surprised. One example, Zayd bin Arqam radiallahu ta'ala, 13 or 14 year old youngster. He's part of the delegation that goes to Tabuk. One side, the munafiqeen get together, the hypocrites. Their leader, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, sitting with a few of his confederates. Other munafiqeen, like-minded individuals. Sitting on one side, in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would pretend to be true believers. Now they are sitting in a private audience, they discount the presence of a youngster. Not worried about him because they don't regard him as a threat. And they start their private discussion. What is the private discussion? لَيْنْ رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلِ When we go back to Medina, we the honorable ones will banish the disgraced ones from Medina. Referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba, نَوْزُ بِاللَّهِ لَا تُنْفِقُوا عَلَى مَنْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ حَتَّى يَنْفَقُوا Stop, don't spend on the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam until they forsake him. This is the type of discussion that is going on. This youngster Zayd bin Arqam is shocked. He thought these were true believers. He thought they were companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they are mocking the Nabi of Allah like this. And they are planning making up all these devious plans to harm and hurt Rasulullah and his companions. Zayd bin Arqam is overtaken, astonished. He runs to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul is saying this. He and his companions said this and said this. When the news filters back to Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, one side a leader, a respected person in society, holding a lofty position from a lofty family. And he realizes that this youngster was privy to our discussion, and he has revealed what we were discussing to Rasulullah, immediately he presents himself with his confederates. Every one of them swear an oath that, Ya Rasulullah, this is a lie, it's a fabrication, this youngster is making up stories. There is absolutely no truth to what he is saying. On the one side, a leader of society, a respected individual, and so many people to back up his story and swearing an oath on Allah. On the other side, the claim of a 13-year-old boy. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam outwardly gives the benefit of the doubt to Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. The whole family of Zayd bin Arqam turn against him. But what is wrong with you? Where is your respect? You are casting aspersions on the dignity and honor of a respected sahabi. You are making up stories about people sowing the seeds of division. Zayd bin Arqam said, there was no one to believe me, I was a young boy. وَقَعَ عَلَيَّ مِنَ الْغَمِّ مَا لَمْ يَقَعَ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ قَتُ Such grief, such sorrow overtook me in the like of which no one had ever experienced. فَنِمْتُ كَئِيبًا حَزِينًا I went to sleep in the state of utter grief. A little while later, he says, I sent someone, حَرَّكَ عَلَىٰ أُذْنِي He's shaking my ears. I opened my eyes, and what did I see? What did I see? طَلَعَ الْبَدْرُ عَلَيْنَا طَلَعَ الْبَدْرُ عَلَيْنَا He said, I saw the shining, beaming face of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiling down upon me. My Nabi was happy with me. Allahu Akbar, look at the iman, look at the ishq and muhabbat and devotion of a 13-year-old boy. What is his reaction? Allahu Akbar, he said at that time when I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiling down upon me, after I had been so aggrieved, when I saw my Nabi smiling and happy with me, he said, if at that time Allah had offered me that Zayd, we will give you a life from now till Qiyamah, and we will give you the wealth of the world in exchange for the smile of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the qasam of my Allah, I would have chosen the happiness of my Nabi. And I would have given up life in this world till Qiyamah. مَا يَسُرُّنِي أَنَّ لِي بِهَا الْخُلْفِ الدُّنْيَا I prefer that smile to having perpetuity right up to the Qiyamah. قَدْ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ قَدْ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ عُذْرَكَ وَصِدْقَ What does this mean? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled at him and said what? He said, Zayd, not some defense lawyer, not someone else who had overheard this conversation. No! Allah has come forward in your defense. Allah has come forward in your defense. Allah has azraka wa sidqa. Allah has made maghrib for you. Allah has interceded on your behalf. And the entire conversation of Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul is reproduced word for word in Surah Munafiqun in the Quran. Quran comes down to exonerate and prove the truthfulness of this youngster. هُمُ الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ لَا تُنْفِقُوا عَلَىٰ مَنْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ حَتَّى يَنْفَضُّوا وَلِلَّهِ خَزَائِنُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ يَقُولُونَ لَئِن رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلَّ وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ This entire conversation of Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul is reproduced in the Quran in the defense of Zayd bin Arqam radiallahu ta'ala. That was the caliber of the youngsters of that time. The women of that time. What was the ta'alluq with Allah? Umm Salima radiallahu ta'ala anha, one of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She has an objection. What is her objection? مَا لِي أَسْمَعُ الرِّجَالَ يُذْكَرُونَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَالنِّسَاءُ لَا يُذْكَرُونَ What is the objection if you translate this? She says, Ya Rasulullah, why does Allah only speak about the men in the Quran? Allah doesn't speak about the women. If you have to analyze her objection from a strictly grammatical standpoint of viewpoint, there is no basis to this objection. Most languages, it is a rule of grammar that when a general address is made, women are a source of concealment, of parda. So when a general address is made in most languages, if you're addressing everybody, you'll use the male gender. That's a standard rule of grammar. So grammatically, her objection had no basis. But such was the ta'alluq with Allah, this type of objection she made. مَالِ يَسْمَعُ الرِّجَالَ يُذْكَرُونَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَالْنِسَاءُ لَا يُذْكَرْنَ. Ya Rasulullah, why does Allah only use the male gender? Why are the females not addressed? And immediately Jibreel is dispatched. إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَالصَّابِرَاتِ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقَاتِ وَالصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ وَالْحَافِظِينَ فُرُوجَهُمْ وَالْحَافِظَاتِ وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُم مَّغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Muslim men, Muslim women. Believing men, believing women. Truthful men, truthful women. Obedient men, obedient women. Fasting men, fasting women. Those who will guard their chastity amongst the men, those who will do so amongst the women. Those who will remember Allah from the men, those who will remember Allah from the women. Male, female, grammatically, technically this is incorrect, it was not necessary. Yet, such cognizance is given to the objection of the women of that time that this type of verse is revealed in the Quran of Allah. Such was the maqam and status of those women. Allahu Akbar. Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala anha. Anas radiallahu anhu describes her. He describes her. He says, Ajuzan Amya. Ajuzan Amya. She was not only elderly, she was blind. She comes with her son to Medina Munawwara. Having accepted Islam, she comes to learn deen with what maqsad and purpose? With what purpose does she make hijrah? She makes hijrah from her place to Medina for what? For da'wah and tabligh. To learn deen, to take it back to her people. Every sahabi understood that the acceptance of Iman and Islam carries a responsibility with it. Because I am not the ummati of Adam alayhi salam, or Yusuf alayhi salam, or Musa alayhi salam, or Isa alayhi salam, or any of the galaxy of Ambiya alayhi salam. I am the ummati of Khatam al-Nabiyyin Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. Those Nabis, another Nabi was going to come after that Nabi to fulfill this mission of Dawat and Tabligh. After this Nabi, there is no other Nabi to come. No new Nabi is to come. So when I place my hand in the hand of this Nabi, automatically my acceptance of Iman and Islam inculcates, includes within it an acceptance of the responsibility of Dawat and Tabligh. Each one understood that. From the first day, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu brought 6 people in the first day. From the first day they understood that I have to propagate this deen. My acceptance of Iman and Islam carries that responsibility with it. Elderly woman, she comes to Medina with her only son to learn deen, to take it back to her people. What happens? What happens? The environment, the air of Medina, it used to be known as Yathrib al-Humma. There used to be a specific fever that commonly used to overtake people that would come to Medina Munawwara. Through the barakat of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this fever was removed. But nevertheless, the youngster becomes ill and he passes away. His janazah is brought. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, send for his mother. Elderly woman, she enters the courtyard of the masjid. Anas radiallahu anhu is narrating the incident, describes her. He says, Ajuz and Amya, elderly and blind. There is a iltija, there is a tamanna, there is a desire, there is a hope, there is a supplication in the heart of this woman. She wants something. She wants to make dua, she wants to ask for something. Who is in front of her? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who is in front of her? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Eminent Sahaba in front of her. The greatest Nabi of Allah is in front of her. She, the thing that she desires, what she wants, defies the laws of science, defies the laws of logic. She wants something absolutely impossible. Yet she does not request Rasulullah or the Sahaba to make dua for her. Such an effort Rasulullah made on the men and women of Medina. Where every home of Medina was a markaz of Iman. Every home of Medina was a markaz of Iman. And every home of Medina, every reciter of Kalima, such an effort was made that his direct ta'alluq with Allah was established. His direct link with Allah was established. Just as a new Muslim, she's just spent 1 or 2 weeks in Medina. Yet such is her ta'alluq, such is the effect of the environment, such is the ta'alluq with Allah. She has a desire in the heart, she doesn't even ask Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to make dua, she makes her own dua. She raises her hand, Allahumma aslamtu laka tawa, wa qala'tu al-awthana zuhda, wa hajartu ilayka raghba, fala tushmit bi abadat al-awthan. وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنِي مِنْ هَذِهِ الْمُصِيبَةِ مَا لَا تَعْقَتَ لِي بِحَمْلِهَا. She says, oh Allah, I accepted Islam willingly. I gave up idolatry. I gave up ascribing partners with you. Ya Allah, I made hijrat in your path. Not just hijrat, but raghbat. With shawq, I left my home. I left my land and I made hijrat. What was my object and purpose? To take this deen back to my people. Ya Allah, you have tested me. You have tested me. You took the life away of my son. Now when I go back to my people to propagate this deen, they are going to laugh at me. They are going to mock me. They are going to taunt me. That the curse of your new religion took the life of your child prematurely. Ya Allah, this is an obstacle to Dawah. Indirectly, what is she saying? Ya Allah, you are... Ya Allah, your enemies, those without Iman, have a tool to mock at me. They are not going to listen to my da'wah. They are not going to take me seriously. Ya Allah, don't test me like this. Don't test me like this. She makes this dua, and Anas radiallahu ta'ala says that her son removed the kafan from his body. He left through the time of Rasulullah, through the time of Abu Bakr, through the time of Umar, and he became shaheed in the time of Osman. Such were the women of that time. Khola bint Thalaba radiallahu anha comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was one type of talaq that used to take place in the days of ignorance prior to Islam. They call it talaq al-zihar, technical term. In layman's terms, it's when a husband equates his wife or any part of her body with the part of the body of a woman who was haram upon him previously, like his mother. Anti alayya kadhari ummi. You are like the back of my mother to me. In other words, if this type of words are uttered to one's wife in those days, the hukam was that she would become haram permanently. The nikah would break irrevocably. Khola bint Salaba, elderly woman, comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إن زوجي تزوجني وأنا شابة غنية ذو مال ونسب. يا رسول الله, I was a young woman. I had a family. I had a support base, a support structure. And I was beautiful. At that time, my husband married me, referring to Aus bin Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. أكل مالي أفنى شبابي تفرق أهلي نفرد له بطني. Ya Rasulullah, I gave this man my whole life. He ate up my wealth. I gave him my youth. My body shape in giving birth to his children changed also. I was no longer desirable. I had gave up my family for him. Now that I have reached old age, Zahara minni, he gives me talaq-e-zihar. Ya Rasulullah, rule in my favor. What is the ruling? Up till that point, in the Shariat of Rasulullah ﷺ, there had been no mention or no hukam with regards to talaq-e-zihar. So as was the practice, Rasulullah ﷺ, in such matters which were not in conflict with Sharia, he would rule as was prevalent at that time. So he said, Harim ti alay, khola, you are haram upon him. She says, Ya Rasulullah, I gave my whole life to him. How can you say this? She started insisting. Started arguing with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam obviously didn't want to argue with her. But he said, Harim Tiare, Khora, you are haram upon him. The nikah is irrevocably broken down. Your marriage is broken down. Such is the taluk of this woman with Allah, that finally she says, Ya Rasulullah, you won't listen to me. I will put my ashku in Allah. Ashku in Allah hajati. I will place my shikayat in front of Allah. You will not listen to me, I will turn to Allah. Allahumma inna li minhu sibyatan sigara. In zamantuhum ilayya faja'u, wa in zamantuhum ilayhi faza'u. Ya Allah, oh my Allah, I have little children from him. If they are with him, he will not be able to look after them. If they are with me, I will not be able to feed them. And then what does she say? Literal translation of what she said, Anzil ala nabiyik, Ya Allah, reveal upon your Nabi a hukam that is in my favor. Such is a ta'aluk with Allah, that she's not just asking for a hukam. She is, Allahu Akbar, like we say in Urdu, Allah ko paaband bana rahe hai. She is restricting Allah that the hukam must be in my favor. That type of ta'alluq they have with Allah. What happens? All of a sudden the athar and the signs of wahi and revelation become apparent upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sahaba described, they say sometimes on a cold day, his face would break out into beads of perspiration. Such was the weight of the revelation of Qur'an upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahabi says his head was lying on the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying on his lap. When Qur'an started coming out, he said the head became so heavy, I felt like my leg would crush. Sometimes he would be sitting on a camel, that camel would sit down as a result of the weight of the revelation that was coming upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the athar and signs of wahi were there. Aisha radiallahu anha, who was privy to this entire discussion, she was on one side of the hujra. She says, Khola, Khola. She cautions her, stop what you are saying, wahi is coming down. Khola turns even more to Allah. Then after the signs of revelation have dissipated, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with a beaming, happy face turns to Khola. Khola, Allah has ruled in your favor. Quran comes down, Quran comes down, and what Quran? قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ الَّذِينَ يُظَاهِرُونَ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أُمَّهَاتِهِمْ الَّذِينَ يُظَاهِرُونَ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ نِسَائِهِمْ مَا هُنَّ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ إِنْ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَدْنَهُمْ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَقُولُونَ مُنْكَرًا مِنَ الْقَوْلِ وَزُورًا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَفُوٌّ غَفُورٌ إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَاتِ. Three or more verses of the Qur'an are revealed. And look at how. Look at Aisha says, radiallahu anha, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي وَثِّعَ سَمْعَهُ الْأَسْوَارِ. The narrator of this incident is Aisha, radiallahu anha. How does she narrate it? She says, blessed is my Allah. Blessed, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي. Blessed is my Allah, whose listening encompasses every sound. I was nearby, I could not even hear properly what Khola was saying. Yet Allah says, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ. Allah has heard. Allah has heard. In the latter part of the life of Khola, once it is the imarat of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as Umar is walking, he is the Amir, the Khalifa. All of a sudden his companions observe, there's one old woman standing on the street, she stops him. And then she starts speaking to him in a manner, they could not believe that anybody could speak to Umar like this. She says, Umar, don't forget the time. I know the time you were a little boy running around in the marketplace of Okaz. They used to call you Umayr. Thereafter you became Umar al-Farooq. Now people are calling you Umar Amir al-Mu'mineen. Don't let this go to your head. Don't let this go to your head. Why? Innahu man ayqana bil maut khaf al-fawt. وَمَنْ اَيْقَنَ بِالْعَذَابِ خَافَ الْحِسَابِ. She's cautioning the Amir. She's cautioning the Khalifa, the ruler. What was the ruler? What was the area Umar was ruling over? 2,200,000 square miles. And how? What is she saying to him? Be careful. Don't let this imarat go to your head. Fear Allah. The one who fears. The one who fears. Or the one who فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ خَافَ بِالْمَوْتِ
if the one who has conviction on mort and death will fear having to give account in front of Allah. Oh, but the day is coming, despite your khilafah, you will have to give account in Allah's court. For a long time she's speaking to him like this. So one of the companions turns to him now because they're getting irritated. أَتَّقِفْ لِهَذَا الْعُجُوْءِ أَجُوْءِ هَذَا الْوُقُوْءِ He said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, you are standing so long, keeping everybody else in abeyance because of this elderly woman, they didn't know who it was. Omar turns to them, and he says, do you know who this is? Wallah Allah's Qasam, if she made me stand here from the morning till sunset, ma ziltu illa salat al-maktuba. لو حبستني من أول النهار إلى آخرها. If she stopped me from the morning till the evening, I would have stood here. I would have just went for my farsala and came back. إِنَّا خَوْلَا قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَوْقِ سَبْعِ سَمَاوَاتِهِ أَيَسْمَعُ قَوْلَهَا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَلَا يَسْمَعُهُ عُمَرُ This is خَوْلَا. Allah heard her. Allah heard her. From above the seven heavens, are you saying to me, Allah Rabbul Alameen listens to her and I mustn't listen to her? Such were the women of that time. Such was the iman. Each one was a mountain of iman. Each one taluq with Allah was such in that majlis. In that gathering, Allah's Rasul is saying, oh my sahaba, what will happen to my ummah? When the youngsters will become fasik and fajir, when the women will become overly rebellious, and when they riot and my ummah will forsake their deen, they said, our kind of Zalika Ya Rasulallah, O Nabi of Allah, can this happen? He said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ وَأَشَدُ مِنْهُ سَيَكُونَ By the qasam of that being, in whose hand lies the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, worse than this will happen. Worse than this will happen. وَمَا هِيَ يَا رَسُولَّهِ Ya Rasulallah, what is worse than this? What can be worse than this? He said, كَيْفَ أَنْتُمْ كَيْفَ بِكُمْ إِذَا تَرَكْتُمُ الْأَمْرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ What will happen to my ummah when they will forsake the responsibility of amr bil ma'ruf and nahy anil munkar? The responsibility of da'wah and tabligh, the responsibility of establishing Allah's deen. This is that ummah. Allah, khaliq al-kainat, Allah Himself says, kuntum khayra ummah. Pick up a translation. What we read? Kuntum khayra ummah. Kuntum khayra ummah. You are the best of every ummah. That translation doesn't do justice to this expression. Sahibul Lisan, those who understand, Arabic will understand the ramification of this type of expression. What is it? It's actually, like you say, shabash, congratulations, mashallah. It's not there literally, but that's the type of meaning it carries. Kuntum khayra ummah, congratulations, O ummah of Muhammad, you are the best. You are the best of every ummah. You are the highest ranking, you are the most superior. Why? أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ Because you were taken out, you were selected, you were chosen, you were conceived for the benefit of humanity. What benefit? تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ You will enjoin the good for the evil and believe in Allah. You will establish Allah's deen. Because of this responsibility, you have been elevated to such an extent, to such an extent. Such is the burden of responsibility. The famous hadith we know, Aisha radiallahu anha is the narrator. She says, دَخَلَ عَلِيَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the room, فَعَرَفْتُ فِي وَجْهِ أَنَّ قَدْ حَذَرَهُ شَيْءٍ Looking at his noble countenance, I realized that something of grave significance had occurred. Contrary to his normal manner, normally, دَحَاكَنْ بَسَّامًا When he would enter the house, he would be smiling. He would be approachable. He would greet the family. You would be a source of khidmat, kana fi mihnati ali. You would do the domestic chores. She says, this today something of grave significance had occurred. Why? Because of that, his entire demeanor and manner changed. Fama tkallama ahad. He didn't even speak to anybody. Fatawadda, he made wudu. He went into the masjid, climbed on the minbar, started the khutbah. What does Aisha radiallahu anha say? That seeing this change in demeanor and manner made me realize the gravity of the message that he was going to deliver. So what did I do? فَلَسِقْتُ بِالْحُجْرَةِ Asma ma yakul, she says, I put my ear against the wall of my hujra to listen carefully to what he had to say. What did he say? He gave the normal, started the normal khutbah. Hamid Allah wa atna alayhi, then he said, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna Allah yakul, muru bil ma'ruf, walhu anil munkar. O my ummah, O humanity, Allah commands you. Allah commands you in layman's terms. Dawah and tabligh is your responsibility. You will have to establish deen. You will have to enjoin good and forbid evil. If you will turn your backs on this responsibility, if you will cease to carry out this fundamental and basic task which Allah has entrusted you with, then what will happen? What will happen? The tide of aggression will turn against you. The tide of aggression will turn against you. Halat and conditions in this world will turn against you. You will become the target of Allah's anger and Allah's wrath. At that time, you will make dua to Allah. You will beg from Allah. You will seek succor and comfort from Allah. But such is the gravity of this crime. Why? Why? What is so grave about this crime? Person drinks liquor, the harm of it remains within that person. Person doesn't make his salah, he's harming himself. Other command of Allah, he breaks, the harm will be confined to that individual. It's a worry for the akhirat of humanity has to come out of the hearts of this ummah. If this ummah's attitude becomes such that let 6 billion people go to Jahannam, it's not my worry. My worry is my shop and my job and my degree and my worldly goals and targets. This attitude turning their back on the cry, on the fikr, on the concern of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this harm will affect the entire humanity. This harm will affect the entire humanity. That is why this is such a grave sin. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you will do this, then at that time you will make dua to Allah. قَبْلَ أَن تَدْعُونِي فَلَا أُجِبَكُمْ وَتَسْتَنْسِرُونِي فَلَانْسَرَكُمْ وَتَسَلُونِي فَلَآتِيَكُمْ. Allah says to you, at that time you will make dua to me, I will not answer your dua. You will beg from me, I will not grant you. You will ask from me, I will not give you. Until when? Until you make tawbah from this. Until you come back to your responsibility. Sahaba, their whole lives was dawat and tabligh. Their whole lives was a cry for the ummah. They could not envisage such a situation ever arising. So they said, أَوَكَائِنُ ذَلِكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ O Nabi of Allah, can such a thing happen? What was the response? He said, وَالَّذِينَ فِي مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ وَأَشَدُّ مِنْهُ سَيَكُونَ. He said, by the qasam of that being, in whose hand lies the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, worse than this will happen. Gradual decline, one thing leading to another. وَمَا هِيَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ What is it, O Nabiya? What is worse than this? كَيْفَ بِكُمْ إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الْمَعْرُوفَ مُنْكَرًا وَالْمُنْكَرَ مَعْرُوفًا. O my Sahaba, what will happen to my ummah when Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, when Allah's disobedience will become beloved to them? When to break Allah's command will be something that they will love. They will not be able to distinguish between halal and haram. Today proposal comes. Proposal is rejected. Why? The youngster got a beard. He's got some dini background. The husband says, I want to divorce my wife. Why? She's gone into banda. Can't live with her anymore. She's no more attractive. رَيْتُمُ الْمَعْرُوفَ مُنْكَرَا وَالْمُنْكَرَ مَعْرُوفَ. Printed invitation. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. النِّكَاحُ مِنْ سُنَّتِي النِّكَاحُ مِنْ سُنَّتِي بِسْمِ اللَّهِ Quranic verse النِّكَاحُ مِنْ سُنَّتِي and Allahu Akbar. From the start to the end of that entire function, there is only those things which are drawing Allah's lanat and curses. And بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ النِّكَاحُ مِنْ سُنَّتِي Who's sunnah? Music in every direction. Intermingling in every direction, bihaya and fahsh in every direction, and an nikahu min sunnati. Muslim businesses advertising financial packages. May Allah
If you will not desist from riba, then you are declared war with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Muslim businesses advertising financial packages. One is to break Allah's command in the darkness and make tawbah, and the other is to flagrantly and openly violate Allah's command. As if the haram has now become halal. كيف أنتم إذا رأيتم المعروف منكرا والمنكر معروفا Oh my Sahaba, what will happen to my ummah? When they will no longer distinguish what is halal and what is haram. Halal will become haram, haram will become halal. Our kind and that, Ya Rasulullah, can such a thing happen? When this moral, gradual decline of the ummah and the basis of its amal, and then, what am I explaining like this? They say when a gutter is 5% full, you overlook it. When it's 10% full, you overlook it. 15%, 20%, 25%, 30%, still you can overlook it. But when it becomes 100% full, when the filth and the dirt is now overflowing, what happens? Then a deluge comes, a flood comes. There is need now to clean everything. Be halaftu. بحلفت سأتيحن لهم فتن يصير الحليم فيها حيران. At that time Rasulullah tells him, says Allah says, by the qasam of my izzat and my jalal, I will set such fitna, such tests, such trials, such tribulations upon them, يصير الحليم فيها حيران, that even the intelligent ones amongst them will become astonished. That what is happening, what is going on? ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا so that they can taste a portion of the extent to which they have violated Allah's command, not because Allah has forsaken them, no. لعلهم يرجعون, so that they come back to Allah. The hand of Allah's mercy is open. The bay of Allah's mercy is open. Halat conditions are there for what? For reflection. Halat conditions are there to put brakes. Halal conditions are there to come back to Allah. Understand our responsibility. Allah asks ourselves the question. If a Nabi of Allah to come now, what will he do? 95% of the believing ummah away from the masjid. Every command of Allah broken openly. If a Nabi of Allah were to come now, what would he do? The need, the cry, the call of the hour is to hold the hand of one person and bring them back to Allah. Leave one person to the masjid. Bring one person on this conviction that Allah is the doer, Allah is the maker, Allah is the controller. And there is no other way besides the way of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the living manifestation of that is salah. And that salah has to be done according to the knowledge taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the awareness and consciousness of Allah. And we have to become a living embodiment of the akhlaq and character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasaba would go place to place, no big speeches, kunu mitlana, when they saw the akhlaq, the love, the compassion, the consideration for one another. Like Mufti Zain al-Abidin sahab rahmatullahi alayhi puts it beautifully, he says if there were 999 males living in Medina Munawwara and one person's sister passed away, it was as if 999 people's sister had passed away. Such was the brotherhood, such was the concern, such was the compassion, such was the sympathy, such was the regard for the rights of one another. When Sahaba brought this in their lives, there was no need for big speeches, kunu mitlana. They would say to the people, become like us. And drones people will come towards Islam. And the Ummah has come onto this platform that it understood that its wealth and its life is not his. Does not belong to them. This life is not ours. This wealth is not ours. It is an amanat. It is a trust given by Allah to be used where, when and how. Where, when and how. La tazul qadama abdin. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the day is coming, your foot will not move. Your foot will not move until you answer these questions. Amongst these questions is what? How was this life used? Where was the wealth acquired? How did you use it? The knowledge you had, what did you do with it? And what is the answer? What is the answer to these questions? What is going to exonerate us in that court? We are worried about this exam. We are worried about what goals and aspirations we have set in this world. That day is coming when Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your foot will be locked on the ground, it will not move. Till you don't answer this. The life we gave you, what did you do with it? This health we gave you, what did you do with it? The wealth we gave you, what did you do with it? The knowledge we gave you, what did we do? What did you do with it? And there is only one exoneration. There is only one correct answer to this. There is only one correct tarteeb to this. And that, my respected brothers, is nothing and nothing else besides Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His day, his night, what did he do with his health? What did he do with his wealth? What did he do with his knowledge? What did he do with his life? That is the only acceptable utilization of this in Allah's court. We were given a perfect example. And every one of us, rich, poor, black, white, whether English, American, Chinese, Australian, African, every one of us will be judged on that move. What was the life of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? What was his cry? What was his concern? What was his worry? What was his day? What was his night? Such love Sahaba had for him. It was the Maidan of Uhud. Confusion, as a result of which many of them thought he had become shaheed. And in that, they went helter-skelter in different directions, just a few remained around him. To write a legacy for this ummah till Qiyamah, that what is devotion to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 16 or 17 remain. Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhu, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Qatada bin Nu'man radiallahu ta'ala, Talha radiallahu anhu, Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. To mention a few of the names. What did they do? They formed a human shield of around Rasulullah. Thousand people committed, na'udzubillah, to taking the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and 16 or 17 remain around him. Qatada bin Nu'man, as the arrows are coming to protect the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he puts his face in front. So that one arrow goes into his eye, and the entire eyeball is disgorged and it comes out into the hand of Qatada bin Nu'man. He turns around and he faces the Nabi of Allah in this condition. Allah's Rasulullah seeing this, takes from Qatada radiallahu anhu the remains of his eyeball, which is mush, because it has been destroyed by an arrow. Nabi Sallallahu takes this mush, places it back in the eye socket. One is placing the physical piece of flesh back. The other is the nerve cells behind it. The other is that intricate system that Allah has put into place to enable one to see. Yet, all Nabi Sallallahu does, he takes this mush, puts it back. Allahumma ja'alha. Allahumma ja'alha ahsana ilayh. Allah, make this the better of the two eyes. Make this the better of the two eyes. Qatada bin Nu'man radiallahu anhu's son would say, أَنَا بْنُ الَّذِي سَالَتْ عَلَى الْخَدِّ عَيْنُهُ فَرُدَّتْ بِكَفِّ الْمُصْطَفَى أَحْسَنُ الرَّدِّ فَعَادَتْ كَمَا كَانَتْ لِأَوَّلِ مَرَّةٍ فَيَا حُسْنَ عَيْنٍ وَيَا حُسْنَ كَفِّي. He would say, I am the son of the one whose eyeball rolled down his cheek. It was returned back to its position by the hand of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It became the better of his two eyes. It became the better of his two eyes. What a beautiful eye, and what a beautiful hand that placed that eye. Human shield they formed. In the Shia bin Abi Talib, in the valley of Abu Talib, when the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was boycotted for 3 years, their food was cut off, their water was cut off, they were not allowed to trade. The whole Banu Hashim, the entire clan of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, They were given a choice. Either die a death of lingering starvation and ostracization, or surrender Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of them were not believers. Abu Talib, at that time, Abu Talib died on kufr, he wasn't a believer. And he was the head of the Banu Hashim. Yet even in that condition, such was the devotion to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when given this option, death of starvation, and having been ostracized and cut off in isolation, die in the jungle, die in this valley, or surrender Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? He recited a poem, what they call Qasida Lamia, 90 couplets, just a few of them. كَذَبْتُمْ وَبَيْتِ اللَّهِ نُبْزَى مُحَمَّدًا وَلَمَّا نُطَاعِنُ دُونَهُ وَنُنَاظِرِهِ وَنُسْلِمُ حَتَّى نُصَرَّى حَوْلَهُ وَنُذْهَلَ عَنْ أَبْنَائِنَا وَالْحَلَائِلِ وَأَبْيَضَ يُسْتَسْقَى الْغَمَامُ بِوَجْهِ ثُمَالُ الْيَتَامَى عِصْمَةٌ لِلْأَرَامِلِ. What is the crux of it? No time to go into the detail. He said, you people want us to surrender Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will first have to slaughter every one of us. You will have to form a mountain of our corpses before we will allow you to touch one hair on the body of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such was their devotion, but that those expressions of Abu Talib were not given a visual representation at that time. The visual representation of what Abu Talib said occurred in Uhud. When this 16 or 17 formed a shield around him, thousands of arrows raining down upon the Nabi of Allah and a human shield around him. Each one prepared. This was ishq and muhabbat and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's taqdeer was ghalib, the value of deen had to be shown to us. So what happened? Abdullah bin Qami'a Mal'un manages to cut through this human shield. His sword is raised up high and he brings it crushing down on the shoulder of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With such force, خُذْهَا وَأَنَا ابْنُ قَمِيعَ. Take this, I am ibn Qami'a. Such is the extent of the wound inflicted that the blood is gushing from the shoulder of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Utbah bin Abi Waqqas Mal'un, Sahaba were anticipating arrows. They were not anticipating a rock. So he picks up a boulder and he flings it over this human wall. And this huge boulder rock comes crushing down on the face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The value of deen had to be shown. The value of iman had to be shown. The value that Allah's ta'alluq cannot be acquired cheaply. This deen reached us through qurbani and sacrifice. That face, which face? That face, according to the tafsir of Imam Fakhruddin Razi, upon which Quran takes qasam, wad-duha. Wad-duha, by the qasam of the shining face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. One tafsir by the qasam of the black zulfa of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today that same face is full of blood. That same zulfa is full of sand and dust. That upon which Quran takes qasam. Ulama say amongst the myriad miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one miracle was his face. One miracle was his mubarak face. That anyone who looked at that face with truthfulness in his heart would be convinced that this is the Nabi of Allah. This is the morning of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One Jew is running around madly in the gullies and alleys of Makkah, shouting. Allama Suyuti rahimahullah mentions his riwayat in his Qasais al-Kubra. What is he shouting? Like a madman. Was any child born last night? Was any male child born last night? They said, yes, there was a male child. Is his father alive? They said, yes. He said, I'm not talking about that child. Was any child born last night, male child, whose father is not alive? They said, yes, the grandson of Abdul Muttalib was born last night. Take me to him.
newborn baby, a few hours old, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is brought in front of this Jew. No sooner does he look at the face of this newborn baby, waylun li bani Israel. Waylun li bani Israel, laqad kharajat an-nubuwwatu minha. ورحتم بها يا معشر قريش والله لا يستغن بكم سطوة يظهر أمرها في الشرق والغرب. He says destruction, halakat, loss for perpetuity to the Bani Israel. Nubuwwat has left you forever. Mubarak you Quraysh. And then he points to this child. He says the nur of this child will light up the entire world. Just looking at his Mubarak face, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, ما رأيت شيئا أحسن من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كأن الشمس تجري في وجهه وإذا ضحك يتلألأ في الجدر. He says, I have never seen anything more beautiful than the face of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. It was as if the sun would shine from his face, and when my Nabi would smile, the noor of that smile could be seen on the wall in front of him. Ali radiallahu anhu says, من رآه بديعتن هابه ومن خالته معرفتن أحبه يقول نعيته لم أرى قبله ولا بعده مثله. He says, Ali radiallahu anhu says,
www.attableek.com, the reviver of